Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm having a great day, bro.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How you doing, bro?
I am rejoicing in the Lord.
Well, praise God. You are back on another Typology Tuesday. We're really excited to continue to dig in on this, guys. We absolutely love talking about this subject. But something I wanted to bring up before we get into it, and that is the Good Fight Radio, not show, network. The entire network, okay? And I am hoping, and it's actually looking like that may come true, that hopefully my birthday present would be the radio network starting right around that time. So I'm so excited to have a 24/7 radio station that we, Good Fight Ministries, Pastor Joe, Tony, myself, Doug Stapleton, we have been putting together and looking at and checking out all these different teachers and getting their materials. Guys like Dr. Walter Martin, guys like Ray Comfort, okay? Even if you're into the apologetics, especially in Islam, you like Jay Smith or guys, preachers like Leonard Ravenhill. You guys are going to have some great teachers alongside Pastor Joe Schimmel, and we are so excited. Oh, by the way, you're going to be hearing the Good Fight Radio Show on the network as well. So we are so excited. I had to get that out there before we talk about Typology Tuesday. So Joe, let's get into it.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Hey, you know what? Let's just get right into it. We've been looking at the creation days and how the creation days are a picture of God's work in us from the very first day of creation with the world, the creation, the early primitive creation that God started with on the first day of creation. God basically separates the light from the darkness. But what we're seeing here, if you could just draw the parallel, and if you have a Bible, if you're not driving or you're in a place, you're not working and you're just sitting around listening and saying, hey, I want to get in the Word, and you can open up your Bible and be a lot better for you. If you can't, you're still going to get supremely blessed in the Lord because we're looking at a lot of His Word. But it's really profound when you realize that in the Old Testament, we have picture after picture, shadow after shadow, type after type that points to Jesus. And often these pictures point to His work in us. And each day of creation is a picture of what God wants to do in us. And this isn't something that, you know, we just thought, maybe this is what's going on. No, the Apostle Paul himself, and also I believe John in John chapter 1, alludes to and uses, employs the imagery used in the Genesis account when God created the heavens and the earth as a picture of, by divine design, of what God was doing in us as believers. And I don't want to retrace a lot of what we've covered, but if you've been with us through these studies, I think we've pretty well proven that, especially by showing even the way He created the heavens. We read in the book of Hebrews that the tabernacle, which points to how we get saved and come to Jesus, the temple and so forth, was patterned after what God has going in heaven, which is part of His creation, showing that God from the very beginning had a plan of salvation that was embedded somewhat and revealed somehow through creation. Tony, could you read the first three verses of Genesis again? That would be great.
Sure. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
Yeah, it's just so amazing when you realize that the world we read was, at that time, the earth was tohu wa bohu. We've talked about that interesting couple Hebrew words there, tohu and bohu, or tohu wa bohu. And it's translated usually in most of your translations, formless and void. And that certainly is how we were before we came to Christ. We were without form, without purpose in our lives, without godly structure, without God's plan effectuated in our lives by the Holy Spirit as children of His redemption. And we also were void. We were empty, without hope in this world, Christless. We were, as Solomon said, vanity of vanities. Everything was empty to us. And also it mentions that there was darkness over the face of the deep. And there was darkness over our lives, you know. We were dark. There was no light. Our hearts were darkened until the light showed up. And then what happens there? The Holy Spirit of God, it says, was hovering over the face of the deep. And that's what happened in our lives before we came to Jesus. The Holy Spirit began to convict us of sin. And God says he set forth his Spirit and they were created. We are new creations through the work of the Spirit in our lives. And what else happens? He says, let there be light. By the way, God's word is spoken. Jesus is the word that's become flesh, who's changed our lives, amen? And he's the light of the world, amen? And the light came into the world and brought life and so forth, as we'll see in the days that follow. But it's interesting that while we were formless and we were tohu, and we were bohu, we were formless and void, and darkness is over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God worked in our lives, and the Holy Spirit opened our hearts, and the light of Jesus came to our lives and brought new life. So it's a great picture here, and I love, and our starting point again will be 2 Corinthians 4:6 as we get deeper into this now. 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, for as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What's he referring to there? The book of Genesis, the creation, when everything was tohu wabohu. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So our hearts are paralleled there with the dark creation and the light that is there, which I've already done a whole message on, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of them being there present at the creation, all of them being at work in the creation act. And we've talked about over and over again how what we're looking at in the early creation, when it's primitive and you just have the matter that the Lord had created there, it's not a pre-existing creation that's been judged and been around for billions of years. It's how God started his creation, because he was doing something which I've called a prophetic artistic production. He was prophetically showing artistically through the creation of the earth with a black canvas, so to speak, formless and void, how he was going to start with us as fallen creatures who would need to be redeemed. And last time we got into this, we spent considerable time in Jeremiah and Isaiah, the only other two places where the two terms tohu wabohu are used together. You know, one of those terms is used several times, and the other term isn't used at all. And there are places in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, but the term tohu wabohu that we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is only seen together in Jeremiah and Isaiah. And I won't go over those passages again and read them for you. I'll just remind you that they had to do with God's judgment for breaking his holy law, for instance, upon Judah and the other place on the nations, for breaking God's moral law. And it's interesting that those depictions, and they even hark back to the early creation, they're saying, hey, God waylaid the wicked, you know? He judged the wicked, and he made them like tohu wabohu because of their sin. And even one place after it mentions tohu wabohu, talks about they were shrouded in darkness, totally using the Genesis imagery. And I point out to you guys that what's happening there is the Lord right there is saying, hey, look what's happening to these people he's judging. They're going to look like this, the early creation before it was formed. And because that early creation before it was formed was a picture of judgment. And guess what? That was a picture of us under the wrath of God, filled with darkness, as the wicked who knew not God, who were estranged from him, who were formless, who were void, who were filled with darkness, who needed the Spirit of God and the light of Jesus to invade our lives. Amen? And thank God he did. So Paul states, for a God who commanded light to shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, notice there that light there is parallel with knowledge, the true knowledge of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the true person of Jesus Christ who saves us from our sins. And when we came to a knowledge of our dark state, our depravity, our formlessness and emptiness, and our need of Jesus, we repented and we embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came into our hearts and he transformed us. He changed us through faith. Now, I think this is interesting, because what I don't want you to do is go to chapter 4, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians and think, oh, it just stops there. Well, he's looking at that as like a picture of our salvation. That's awesome. Praise God, you'll be beyond 99% of Christians who don't get that, don't know that, don't understand. That's great, because it'll help us challenge us and help us to grow and help us to see like, wow, God's at work in all kinds of ways to show us what he wants to do in us. And what an awesome God we have, who's even his creative act is showing his plan of redemption. That's beautiful and all, but I want you to see that there's far more in 2 Corinthians than that. because a lot of the narrative here, Paul takes up this entire picture. In fact, in chapter 5, verse 17, which we'll look at later, he says, if anyone be in Christ, the very next chapter of 2 Corinthians, after he says, as God commanded light to shine out of darkness, and he's shining our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Guess what? 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Paul has this whole idea in mind that we are new creations through the power of the Spirit, the light of Christ, through the word of Jesus, and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So it's important to keep this in mind. Now keep the context in mind again that we looked at Jeremiah and Isaiah. The earth was going to become, and the wicked and the land of Judah, for instance, was going to become tohu wabohu because of their sin and breaking God's law. Well, guess what the context of 2 Corinthians 3 is? Is that the people of Israel, those who've rejected the Messiah, those who have broken God's law, are in darkness. They're tohu wabohu. They don't understand. There's a veil over them. They're in darkness. They can't see the gospel. They're blinded. And it's because of breaking God's law in that chapter, just as we read in Isaiah and Jeremiah. That's why they are tohu wabohu, and the light needs to shine out of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:6. So let's go through some of the narrative and pick it up, and you'll start to see how powerful this is. And I began to do this at the end of the last message, but now I want to get a little bit deeper into it. In 2 Corinthians 3:4-6, we read some interesting verses. It says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And then it goes on to say, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What did the letter do when we read Jeremiah and Isaiah? It brought them to a place of tohu wabohu, a place of judgment, formlessness, emptiness, darkness. And it's interesting. Paul's saying that's not us Christians now, Jewish and Gentile believers who've embraced Jesus Christ. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, he introduces the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit was hovering over the waters there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 to, or verse 2 and 3, to transform the earth with the light coming and do God's work. So it's quite interesting. Now, I think this is fascinating that you would probably miss in just reading the English text, because twice Paul speaks of the letter bringing condemnation. The law brought tohu wabohu upon the people in Isaiah and Jeremiah because they broke God's holy law. Not because the law is bad, but because we're bad. But guess what? The Spirit comes to bring life. Isn't that interesting? And Paul says something interesting. He twice speaks of a singular letter of the alphabet. If in the Greek language in 2 Corinthians 3:4-6, he actually literally says, not of the letter, but he's not saying letter like a written letter. He says, not of the alphabetical letter. He uses the word for a singular letter in the alphabet that would refer to one stroke or one point of the law. So he says, not of the alphabetical letter, but of the Spirit. For the alphabetical letter, he says, kills, but the Spirit gives life. I find this really fascinating because Paul is emphasizing that just one single infraction of God's law is enough to kill us. And that's why none of us can think that we're holy without the Lord. None of us can think that, man, I'm a pretty good guy, and that's why God will accept me. No, man, we're accepted on the basis of the new covenant, by the basis of what Jesus Christ did on the cross in paying for our sins and dying in our place. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore all of our sins, and the handwriting of the law, every letter that was written against us, according to Colossians chapter 2, was nailed to the cross. When Christ was put to death, God's holy law that was written and condemned us, condemned him in our place. He was condemned for us so we could be accepted. So give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's interesting because James also speaks how, you know, you can just offend in one of the laws and that'll condemn you. Paul says, if you're going to try to keep the law to be saved, the Old Testament law, like some people falsely teach that you can do, he says, then you have to keep the whole law. You know, then you're under the law. You're really under a curse because no one has kept the entire law of God. But thank God, as Christians under the new covenant, we're not under the civil law. We're not under the the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. We're under the law of Christ in the New Testament. And the law of Christ gives us the dictates of God's love and to obey him and obey the laws of the new covenant. And the old covenant only pertains to us as far as the laws that are written there when they're taken up as part of the new covenant and they reflect God's heart and God's moral law. That's interesting. As we're looking at this and we're considering this and the fact that we're seeing from the New Testament what God was doing in the Old Testament, there's an old saying that used to be used. I think it should be used more again. As the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is the new revealed. And I, by the way, think there's a lot of truth to that. But guess what? I also see that in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, the new is quite clear as well. But it's when you get the eyes of the New Testament that you can really see it. And it's just beautiful. So now Paul doesn't just simply use 4:6 to point out that we're new creations just as God created the heavens and the earth, and then started with that, you know, that formlessness and void, that darkness, and then brought new life. But he's showing that we broke God's law, and humanity broke God's law, and that we were under God's judgment. And that's why we were dark and void. Before you get to 4:6, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, it's interesting as well, because what did God do to the earth? He brought light into the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over it. What did he bring? He brought the gift of light. He brought light into the earth. And guess what? Paul takes that idea up in chapter 4, verse 7. Now, I'm going to read chapter 4, verse 6, which we've already read, right before 7, so you'll see how they tie together. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Catch that? There's a parallel to the primeval earth. There's a parable to the earth when it was formless and void. We're the formless earth with darkness, but he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. What is the treasure, guys? The treasure is the light of Christ. The treasure is the knowledge of the gospel. The treasure is Christ in us, the hope of glory. By ourselves, guys, we're nothing. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're worms. But Jesus comes into our lives. He transforms us and makes us into his image. We have this treasure. That treasure is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in these jars of clay. In these, it says, earthen vessels. So I'm trying to let you guys know. You see how this goes back over and over again to Genesis? So we have this treasure in these earthen vessels. And that's the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the light of Jesus Christ. That's his word. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should treasure. You have a treasure in you if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you should guard the gospel. You should guard that treasure and be thankful for it, because it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit that God brings transformation to our lives. So I hope you're following along, because this is actually quite heavy, because we're seeing this parallel ferreted out a bit. Now, keep in mind, as we look at this and we dive in more deeply, that when we find that a little bit later in the next chapter, he says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have become, all things have fallen away or passed away, and all things have become new. Guess what? That's you and me. That old formlessness that we used to have is gone. We've taken shape in Jesus. He's brought us to the light, and he's bringing spiritual shape to us. That emptiness that we once had, no more. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now we're filled with this earthen vessel is filled with the treasure of Jesus Christ. That darkness, that gloom that was over us, not anymore. Now we have the light of Christ. He's a lamp to our feet. He's a light to our path. So rejoice. Amen. And we have the Spirit of God at work in our lives. Now it's important also to understand that primeval earth was shrouded in darkness. As I've mentioned, when you look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, two verses before he says he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts through the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, just two verses before that, how we were in darkness, not just formless and void. It says in verses 3 and 4, actually, the two and three verses before that, it says this, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blotted out the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What's that saying there, folks? It's saying the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In other words, the lost are in a state of darkness. They're in a state of darkness. That's where we were. And never forget where the Lord has taken you from. We were once in a state of darkness. We once were groping about. We once were making decisions not based on the light of God's word, not based on being image bearers of God Almighty who loves us, not based on his word and his truth, but just what we felt. If you were bitter with people and you harbored grudges and just were filled with anger, you weren't following the light of the gospel. You weren't moving in a place of forgiveness. If you were filled with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and you wanted to live for yourself and the pleasures of the world rather than God, it's because you were groping around in the darkness. You didn't have the light of Christ. Now we have the light of Christ. We know who we are. We know that we're created in God's image, and we know we've been created for his glory, and we know we're to know him, and we're to make him known. So that's all so important. Now, it's interesting, because as we continue to look at this, we see he talks about God's law being written on tablets. Back up again if you have your Bibles. If you don't, just listen along. You can follow pretty easily. In 2 Corinthians 3, he talks about the letter that brought them to a state of tohu wabohu, that condemnation that came through the law. In 2 Corinthians 3, he calls it a ministry of death. He says, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation, now he calls it not only the ministry of death, but the ministry of condemnation, because the law condemned us, not because the law is unholy, as I mentioned, but because we are unholy and we were wicked and we deserved death and condemnation. For the ministry of condemnation, he says in verse 9, has glory. Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. It's talking about the new covenant in Jesus, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light and the work of the Spirit in our hearts. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. And it's earlier that Paul talks about how we are living epistles read of men. A few verses before the beginning that I mentioned in 2 Corinthians 3, I didn't read the first few verses where Paul talks about how we are living epistles read of men. And that means you could, when you looked at the old earth and it was formless, it was void, darkness over the earth, you wouldn't see anything. It was just black, pitch black, darkness, empty, formless, just horrific. Then after God brought the light in the world and he began to transform the earth, and then as the days of creation move forward and it pictures sanctification and God working in our lives and it becomes this beautiful creation, well, guess what? That's what God wants to see in your life. He wants people to see you and see someone who was once formless, empty, filled with darkness, who has life now, who has joy, who has the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, who has Jesus living in them. And that's why Jesus said to let our light shine so men may see our light and they glorify our Father in heaven. So as new creations in Christ, we're called to let this light shine. We're called to let the light that's in these earthen vessels just come out and let the world see it, you know? So I encourage you, spend time with Jesus. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time seeking him. Make sure you're asking for forgiveness of your sins and make sure that you're walking in the light as he's in the light. So you have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse you from all sin. And as you walk and you go forward to the Lord, you're going to affect others. That's how millions and millions and millions of people have come to Christ, through seeing the gospel through the lives of other people who've got their attention and then shared it with them. They see that there's a difference. They see what, wow, everybody else is in confusion. People don't even know the difference between genders anymore. People don't even understand why we're created. And guess what? All of a sudden you have answers. You know who God is. You know what his word says. And guess what? The truth is going to continue to go forward. All kinds of people are going to continue to be saved. But God, you have to realize that God has you as part of that process. I had a gal come up to me yesterday and she was in tears, you know, and I was talking to her and her husband. Really awesome sister in the Lord. And it was a great chat we had. And she was bawling because, you know, a sister came up to her while I was talking to her. And that sister said, hey, I want to thank you for that text you sent me. And the sister went on and on about how that text had just blessed her heart. And what was interesting is she said that, you know what? Well, I write these different texts to people to encourage them with scripture. Well, you know, a lot of people do that. And that's a beautiful thing. But with the sister there, sitting there, she shared the text and an example of a text. And it was like, wow, it was like a few paragraphs long. And it was interesting because her husband said, you might not want to just send one text, one verse out as a group text to people. you know, you might want to just be more personal. Not that that's bad. I think that's great. I'm in some group texts and I get scriptures that other people get and they encourage me in the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. But so what she started doing, she literally started sending texts to 60, 65 different women in the church and other women as well, you know, and that are all individually written. And she does this every day. And that sister came to tell her how much it blessed her because she realized, I'm going to take time to read this because this was written especially for me. And she says, I pray over every text I write to impact people with the gospel, encourage them in their walks with Jesus. I was like, wow, praise God. And she said, there's some time ago you did a message and Joe, you emphasized, make your life count for Christ. You know, you talked about how I'm supposed to make my life count for Jesus. And I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, help me make my life count. And boy, she's making it count, you know. And you look at her and her walk with Jesus and her husband, Jim, and you just see, you know, see Jesus. You see they love Jesus. They're living epistles, read of men. And I knew Jimmy. I didn't know her. I knew Jimmy before he got saved. Jimmy was, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I knew him as he was getting saved, when he was coming to Jesus. But I knew his lifestyle. I saw a picture of him. He's just, you know, this big, mean, 6'6", wide-bodied biker, man. You look at his picture, you'd be like, you know, your heart drops, you know. And he was wicked. He's one of my best friends, you know. And he, you know, if somebody cut him off of the road, he felt, or just, he always had beer bottles. Carried a gun, too. Throw a beer bottle and break it on their car, you know. And he was a drug dealer. He was my wife's drug dealer before she got saved and before he got saved, you know. And remember Tony, you know, and I like Tony over there. Mm-hmm. Tony went over there one time and came in to get some drugs before he was saved.
It's yeah, BC, before but, I was saved.
You know? And he walked in there and I forgot about that. I'm looking at Tony. I was like, yep. Oh, Tony knew Jim.
Yeah.
And big what Jim. Happened there? You know, share it quickly, bro.
Oh, yeah. He was sitting on his couch and on his dining room table in front of him. He had a sawed-off shotgun. That's how he dealt his drugs. And I was there with an ex-girlfriend. And he didn't know me. He knew her. And he looked at me with the look in his eyes like, what is he doing here?
Yeah, did he tell you to leave or something?
And then he told me to leave, yeah.
Yeah.
So she said, you might want to go sit in the car.
Yeah, you would never know this Jim now.
No, no, he's a sweetheart now.
That was tohu wabohu. That was filled with darkness. And yeah, sweetheart is the word, man. Jimmy's a big teddy bear. He just loves the Lord. He's a beautiful man of God, you know? And that's what the Lord does in our lives, guys. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's, you don't get that from AA, NA, or CA. Guys, you don't get that from just changing your lifestyle a little bit. You get that from the work and the power of God. In fact, when God was dealing with, Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to him at night, it says in John 3, you know, in the cover of night. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he talked about, you need to be born again. And he's like, what does that mean? He goes, you mean the teachers of Israel don't know that? Jesus replied, truly, truly, I say to you, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Truly, truly, I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. There's the mention of the Spirit again. And that's because the Lord said in his word that there would have to be a spiritual birth. Ezekiel, Nicodemus should have known this. Chapter 36, verses 25 and 26 says this, I also will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you the heart of flesh. Brothers and sisters, man, we were just that old tohu wabohu, right? God's brought the new life. Now let's let other people see us as living epistles who are read of men, who are new creations, who God commanded, even as he did the old creation, the light to shine out of darkness and brought newness of life. And he's done that in our hearts by shining the gospel in our hearts through Jesus. And therefore it says we're new creations and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let's let that light shine and let people read us. I can't wait to continue to get into how we were tohu wabohu because it gets way deeper than this. Love you guys. Press on in Jesus.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.